Okay, so on the swim and stuff. So when this all went down a few nights ago with Gross's statement, I kind of put a poll out on Twitter recapping the situation from the day and just gave fans the opportunity to say who's lying, Naily or Gross. And just over 1,000 votes, it was 80-20 that Gross was lying. As Scott alluded to earlier on, technically it appears as though Gross may not have been lying and Naily may have not been lying, but was maybe unintentionally rounding up or just, in the ballpark. Either way, it's, what's the phrase? Six dozen half the other. It's not
Wait,
much of a difference.
maybe it was a live offer.
It could have
Well,
been.
that's the thing. Whatever was on the table before, 64 million's on the table now. Like,
Right.
you can't have Kim Neely say that in a press conference and then be like, actually, we're still at 62. Just to
Right.
be like, no, you're at 64 now. So the Bruins offer is 8 years, 8 million a year. That is on the table.
So now let's see if it almost kind of calls Swayman's camp's bluff, because now it's like, if you're not good with 8x8, or again, there's people are commenting, there's different ways to get to 64, so we don't know exactly what it is, whatever, but call it 64
Yeah.
million.
Well,
That's what it
what we
is.
do. Evan
We do.
Marinofsky said 64 years, 1 million a
Yeah.
year.
Well, I you just people just talk about there's different ways to structure things, but at the end of the day, like, doesn't really matter to
Right.
me.
The cap hit and the total payout's the same no matter what.
Right.
Like, yeah, you can get into the signing bonuses. And I guess that's not. It shouldn't be totally ignored because there's also a CBA situation coming up.
Right.
If there were a lockout, that affects it. But it sounds like, for once we might actually avoid a lockout. All the reports out of the Board of Governors meeting, which is this week down in New York, are that there's actually a lot of optimism that there's going to be labor peace and they're going to get a deal done well ahead of time. So I guess we'll see.
I can't do another lockout.
So
Can't do it.
I would say this. One thing that really annoyed me about the Gross statement is he's acting appalled about the Bruins' behavior, but at the end of the day, it's his client who went public first about wanting to reset the goalie market on a podcast that went public. And oh, by the way, the following day, Frank Saravalli is tweeting out or having a show about what the Bruins' actual offer was and what Swayman's actual ask is. I wonder where that information is coming from. So it's a
Well,
dirty
and
game.
who's been leaking stuff to Spit and Chicklets? Like,
Right. It's a dirty
come on.
game. Let's not all act like, oh, how dare the Bruins, because you've been playing dirty this whole time. And it
Yeah.
seems like the Bruins just wanted to get it out in the open. 64, and let's call your bluff. Let's see if you're really asking for 10 or not. Because at the end of the day, guys, if I'm the Bruins, I know a lot of people are saying, you know what? If you can't figure something out, just trade them. Get them out of here. Trade them. Bring something back. But in my opinion, if I'm the Bruins, I wouldn't even put a trade on the. Like, I wouldn't even allow Swayman or his camp to think a trade is possible. If I'm the Bruins, I'm saying, no, we aren't letting you off the hook. You're either playing hockey for the Boston Bruins over the next couple of years, or you're not playing at all. Don't give the player a loophole to get out. That's my opinion.
Yeah, because
And
that gives the leverage to him that
yeah.
there's another option. But and
Yeah.
we know that with Allmark, they played hardball a little bit with that too. So
Yeah, I mean, the only way that it's going to be a trade is if, listen, Jeremy Swayman right now is free to talk to other teams. So if he wants a trade, now we don't, there's been nothing public like regarding a trade request or anything. So we're only talking in hypotheticals here. Like, if he wanted a trade, the way to get it would be find a team that's going to make an offer sheet, because then that actually does force the Bruins' hand. Otherwise, yeah, like what would be the Bruins' incentive to trade him? Like, it's Razor made this point on Jones and Keefe on Tuesday that like this is a really hard time to try to execute a trade that big, anyways. Like, everyone's cap situation and rosters are pretty much set. Everyone's trying to cut guys and get under the cap right now, not add a $9 million player. So it's not even a good time to do it. Like, trades like this happen over the summer or maybe at the trade deadline, but like it would be like extremely rare for a player of that caliber to get traded in October. Like, it's just really hard to do it right now.
And also, you mentioned what the offer sheet value would be, and it is more than most people have, and because it has to be all your own draft picks that go back. It's more than most people have, and it's more than most people would be willing to give up. So the price for Swayman to get him through an offer sheet was how many first-round picks, Scott? It was ridiculous. So, yeah.
I think it would end up being 4 picks.
Yeah. Do you think people are going to be able to do that? It's going to be really difficult. So offer sheet seems implausible too. And I do want to, before we keep going, I want to read this statement because we haven't read it in full yet.
Please. Yeah.
And so this is what was tweeted out. The statement from Lewis Gross, it says, "Normally I do not release statements or discuss negotiations through the media. However, in this case, I feel I need to defend my client. At today's press conference, $64 million was referenced. This was the first time that number was discussed in our negotiations. Prior to the press conference, no offer was made reaching that level. We are extremely disappointed. This was not fair to Jeremy. We will take a few days to discuss where we go from here."
Well, it wasn't fair to the Bruins for their 6-year or 4-year offer at $6.2 million to get leaked out either. So let's take some looks in the mirror before we start throwing stones. But yeah, I also think, just wrapping up the offer sheet topic, if it's an offer sheet, I still think the Bruins would push come to shove, probably match an offer sheet at least worth 8.5, maybe.
Yeah, like that's about where I think the cutoff would be, like 8.5, maybe 9 or higher. I think they probably take the picks.
Yeah, sure. And at that point, I really wouldn't blame them. Now, I personally, guys, as tense as things got a few nights ago, I actually do believe that cooler heads will prevail, because right now it's what did Cervalli say? Swayman's camp was asking for 8.2 or 8.3, and the Bruins were offering 7.8. And by the way,
he said 8.5 was Swayman's ask.
8.5. Okay. And by the way, like, is that, you know, potentially a crafted narrative? Like, were they actually asking for more at different points? So it's just a dirty negotiation right now. But at the end of the day, I think that cooler heads will prevail. The biggest thing I think that's in the way right now is just feelings, emotions, ego. And at that, but honestly, that's what happens when things go public like this. And let's not forget which side went public first. And Mark Bertrand, who works at 98.5, mentioned this, and I'll plug them because it's a good thing that he said. This seems like arbitration in front of the public. This is what's playing out. It's like an arbitration hearing in front of everybody. It's ugly. It should never have gotten to this point. But I do believe that cooler heads will prevail and that he will eventually sign, hopefully sooner than later. If he doesn't, I don't see the Bruins trading him. Again, like I said, if you're the Bruins, Jeremy, we're not trading you, bud. So you're either playing with us or you're not playing for 2 years, because we're not going to do this again next year.
Well, if we're the arbitrators, like, if the whole public is the arbitrators, right? Like, the judges of what the contract should be. What do we think? What does he get?
What do we want?
Yeah. What should he get?
Like, there is no one deciding for them this time. So they have to finish. They have to be big boys and finish this on their own. And if Frank Saravelli's report is accurate, and again, the Bruins are now at 8 a year because Cam Neely said so, and if Swayman's at 8.5, like, then that means both sides have moved a lot, because from everything I've heard, like, the Bruins now, like, I didn't get exact numbers, like, other people have thrown out, but Bruins started in the 6s. Swayman started in the 9s is what I think. And that aligns with a lot of other reporting. So if they're at 8 and 8.5, then that's been quite a bit of movement from both sides. And that's just not that big of a gap. Like, you should be able to bridge that business wise. The question, of course, now is, like, have feelings been hurt so much that Swayman says, you know, screw it, I don't want to deal with this. Which, that, like, that's really what it comes down to, is what Jeremy Swayman wants to do. Because Cam Neely can say what he wants, and Swayman's agent can say what he wants, but, like, ultimately it's Jeremy Swayman's decision. And if he if he values being a Boston Bruin above all else, and he has said that he does, he said he wants to be here. Cam Neely said he told him to his face he wants to be a Bruin. Then you can put all this ugliness to the side, sign your long-term big money extension, have you and your future family set for life, and go play with the teammates that you say you love being on the ice with and try to win a Stanley Cup. Or if you take this, or he needs to, the other decision he can make is that his feelings have been hurt so much and he takes this so personally that he is now willing to throw all that other stuff away. All the stuff about how much he loves his teammates and loves the city of Boston. He says, you know what? I don't think I'd even love that anymore. Like, you've hurt my feelings so much that I'm willing to throw it all in the trash.
Which, by the way, I have a hard time believing that would be the, you know, like after a few days, that would still be how he felt. Right. Because obviously he understands the business too. He agree, like at this point, he's in agreement to play this kind of negotiation. But I feel like based on every time I've ever talked to the guy, he's not an overly emotional, overreactive kind of person.
Really? Well, he makes comments to the media.
I think he's a very emotional person.
I think that at the end of the day, he's reasonable. Do you guys not?
I think we'll find out. Honestly, Bridget, it's a good question. I think that's the $64 million question, right? Because
yeah.
I think that he was at the Jimmy Fund with Nesson talking about how
I talked to him there.
Yeah, and he was
told me he was going to sign.
But he was talking to I'm blanking on the name of it. Is it Adam Pellerin? Is that his name?
Yeah.
He was talking to him and he was saying what Scott was just saying, how he's very confident the deal's going to get done because he loves all the intangibles. But here's the thing. It's within his right to not sign. That's fine. But in return, the public is going to they're going to draw their own conclusions. And when you have a player like UC Saros who has similar numbers as Jeremy Swayman between the pipes, but has a game total and a resume that supersedes Swayman, exceeds what Swayman's done in the National Hockey League. And he's getting paid like 7.6 or something like that.
7.74.
Like compared to his comparables, Jeremy Swayman I'm glad he knows the cap is going up, but you can't, and that's why he's saying he's trying to but the Bruins can't. That's not something that they can control because here in 2024 is the cap in 10 years. And that's why he's making the comment, I want to reset the goalie market. And in my opinion, Jeremy, that's not your responsibility to do. Like your responsibility
is priority.
What's that?
So it shouldn't be the priority. If this priority is that what you've said, which is that you want to stay, then setting the goalie market shouldn't be. And also think it's something in Boston that people don't like to hear because of the team-friendly deals that some of the other stars have taken.
Or how about the owner of the Boston Bruins, who's like, you know, high up with the NHL owners, hearing his own players say that. He, unfortunately for Swayman, because of his RFA status and his lack of games played in the NHL, he's not in a position to reset the goalie market. That's not a reasonable thing to pursue right now for him.
Right, and I've made this point before, but $8 million a year does, like, in a lot of ways, reset the market for an RFA goalie. It might not reset it for all goalies in general, but only one RFA goalie has ever been paid more than that on a contract, and that was Andrei Vasilevskiy right after he won the Vezina Trophy. So, again, as I've said before, sorry, you're not in the same situation Andrei Vasilevskiy was at that time. You're in a similar situation as Igor Shesterkin when he signed as an RFA and got, let me check, under $6 million a year. You're in a similar situation as when UC Saros signed as an RFA right after taking over the net from Pekka Rinne, and he got, let me check, $5 million a year. Or John Gibson, who actually did have more experience and had been a number one who played 60-plus games the year before, and got $6.2 million a year as an RFA.
You didn't say, let me check again. Come on, you're being sassy, and you didn't say it that time.
So, like, those were all signed like 3, 4, 5 years ago. And that set a market of like 5 to 6.2 million. So if you're getting 8, you have actually pushed that number up.
Right.
Like, again, unless you think you deserve Vasilevsky money, in which case I just fundamentally disagree.
And this is common knowledge strictly because of Jeremy Swayman. He went on a public podcast and said these were his intentions. So we hear him say that he's trying to reset the goalie market. Him and his agent are playing hardball. We've all heard the Bruins are willing to go to 64, whether or not Neely slipped and mixed up the numbers a little bit. Like, if to your point, Scott, $8 million is resetting the market for a restricted free agent. And it's also making him the highest paid goalie in league history. Like, it's just there's a reason why if this gets ugly, continues to be ugly. I'm sorry. He's not going to win a lot of fans in Boston.
If he ends up like shooting his way out of town eventually, with this whole situation by like sitting out and then going somewhere else after, he becomes among like the Johnny Damons of, you know, to the Red Sox fan base, like the traitors, right? Like the guys who decided to leave when they said they loved it here. And you go down in a completely different place in Boston sports history at that point.
It would be the big, if Jeremy Swayman's last game for the Bruins was an incredible playoff run and it all went that south in an offseason, he ended up going somewhere else. It would be the biggest heel turn since Hulk Hogan turned heel at 1996 Bash of the Beach. I don't know if that's a reference, Bridget, you understand, or Scott understand.
No clue. I get it for sure.
That would be the biggest heel turn since Bash of the Beach 96. Hogan going from red and yellow to Hollywood Hogan and getting trashed running the room in the ring and everything. So that would be a bad look. I hope it doesn't get to that point.
And I guess if Swayman ends up somewhere else, he probably doesn't much care other than, you know, the once or twice a year he'd come back as a visitor. But yeah, I mean, that would be how he'd be remembered, because we now know what the Bruins offer is. And I think most people are in agreement that it's a pretty reasonable, fair offer. Whereas like, you know, like Tory Krug left, but I don't think Bruins fans have any hard feelings because we all found out after that the Bruins never even really made a serious offer. They clearly were just going to go in a different direction and weren't going to re-sign him. So like, no one blames Tory Krug for going to St. Louis in free agency because you understand that situation. Whereas with this, it's like, we know there's been an honest effort to keep him.
Right. And it just sucks because everybody loves Jeremy Swayman, or loved. He might have some impartial fans right now, but after last year, he was a major fan favorite. And in a goalie market, that's tough to win fans over because of Tim Thomas's excellence. And Tuukka Rask went a decade plus with a love-hate relationship with fans. And it's just disappointing. This is how things have played out. Now, I think if he signs tomorrow, it's going to be water under the bridge for everybody, yeah. Fans, ownership, Swayman, everybody. But I just think we'll see how it plays out. We have literally no time. I'll just ask you guys quickly.
Well, there was a very brief we want Swayman chant at in the third period last night at TD Garden. So, I mean, there's certainly still, I'm surprised this is the first time we heard it, especially after the dramatic statement.
It kind of stayed in like one section. Like
it was loud enough to hear. It was like one or two sections behind the away goal. But it did happen.
Bridget and Scott, one word answer. Bridget first. Do the Bruins and Swayman reach a contract agreement in the next couple of weeks?
I was going to say yes, but I don't know when. So,
okay.
So yes, but I'm not sure what time.
Okay. Scott,
I'll say yes. And yes, within that couple week time period,
as will I'm going to say within the next week, actually. So we'll see. Call me optimistic. Everybody, thank you for listening. Bridget, good luck with your meeting. Scott, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you all very soon.